podcasts are small businesses. When we're talking to business owners, we get it 100%. Our team is tiny. Every single hire needs to fit just right. And that's why we're telling you about Indeed. Get started right now with a free $75 credit to upgrade your job post at indeed.com/TPS. Offer valid through March 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Thanks also to Feels for supporting the Productivity Show. Feels has me feeling my best every day and it can help you too. Become a member today by going to feels.com/TPS. You'll get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. Welcome to The Productivity Show, a podcast by Asian Efficiency to help you maximize your productivity so you can get everything done without having to sacrifice your health, family, and things that matter to you. We've helped tens of thousands of people save time, be happier, and become more productive. Imagine for a moment that you only have $100 in your budget to spend on productivity tools. What would you spend it on? Well, we asked ourselves that same question and came up with a list of gears and tools that we would buy on a limited budget of just $100. Every dollar counts, so we wanted to make sure that every recommendation would pull its weight and help you become more productive. We want to show you that you don't have to spend a lot of money to be more productive. You can find links to everything that we share in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/339. And now, on with the show.
All right, welcome back to the Productivity Show. My name is Brooks Duncan. I'm the COO, amongst many other things, at Asian Efficiency, where we help people become productive in work and in life. I'm joined by Tan, the co-host of the Productivity Show and the CEO of Asian Efficiency. How's it going, Tan?
Hey, Brooks. Good to see you. And I'm excited for today's episode where we're going to be talking about our favorite productivity gear, especially the cheaper stuff, the more affordable stuff, anything that we can buy under $100, especially all the things that we can buy that add up to $100 or less. And it was actually really interesting to kind of put this show together because I know we have a lot of recommendations for expensive stuff. Like the most recent one is, I know you bought one for your wife, is the Theragun, and it's something I love, but it's, you know, $600 if you go for the Pro line. But there's tons of other things you can buy as well that is much more affordable and is also really productive as well. So I was just thinking about, you know, having two younger brothers, what would I recommend to them if they had a limited budget since they're, you know, still in college? I came over with a really interesting and fun list, and when I saw yours, I was like, you know what, I gotta switch it up. I gotta be different. So yeah, we have a really good list here.
Yeah, I have to admit I was a little nervous about this episode because it involves math. I'm pretty sure this is the first time on the Productivity Show we have involved math in the podcast, but don't worry, it's simple addition. And yeah, like you said, we've done other podcasts in the past where we've talked about tools like TPS 327. We talked about the Productivity Gift Guide that was recent. TPS 265, we talked about the 10 best productivity tools under 100, but this is going to be a little different. This is going to be, what if we had $100 US total? What would we buy? Before we get into that, because we both have some interesting picks, I'm really looking forward to hearing yours. But before we get into that, we always like to start every episode with our top three resources. So these are three productivity things that we're loving lately or members of our community are loving lately. Tan, I will let you take this one. Do you have three resources for us?
Yeah, so the first one is a online platform, also an app that's available on Android and iOS, and it's called Chow Now. So Chow Now. So Chow Now. And especially with the current pandemic and kind of like the lockdowns that are happening all over the world, ordering online for food has become like a big thing, right? Like all these big companies like Uber Eats and DoorDash and Postmates have all been blowing up. And having been around Austin, at least where I live around town, and knowing a lot of restaurateurs, they actually all prefer Chow Now. And the reason for that is that all the big companies, they actually charge a commission anytime someone orders. And so it ends up being very expensive for the restaurants to be able to deliver food. Whereas with Chow Now, restaurants only pay a one-time monthly fee, can take as many orders as they want through their system. So I've been using that app now most of the time when I want to order food and have it delivered. And so I would recommend everyone check that out as well so that the restaurants can save a little bit more on fees while still getting the same service and delivery that you need. So Chow Now, check that out. My second recommendation here is a buckled jewelry roll by Letterology. So this is something I was recently looking into. I've done a lot of research on travel, and like recently I've acquired over the years a little bit more jewelry when it comes to like necklaces, bracelets, watches, and so on. I was trying to figure out like, what's the best way to travel with all these things? And after doing some research and buying different products and returning them, the one I settled on is by Letterology, and which is a company I've never heard of before, but they specialize in leather products, and they have this buckled jewelry roll that I really like. So I got one in the navy color, and I've been traveling recently and been using it and been really enjoying it. So this is the one I would recommend everyone checks out. So if you're someone like me who has like very minimal jewelry, but you want to make it easy to travel with, go check that product out. And then the third one is a book called I Will Teach You to Be Rich by Ramit Sethi. So I've been focusing on personal finances this year. This is one of my major topics for this year. And thought, you know what, I should start diving into some of the personal finance books I've been reading like many years ago and kind of start diving back into the material again. And recently updated his book about a year and a half or 2 years ago. And so I wanted to reread it again. And I've been really enjoying it and kind of looking at everything from a different perspective. So I've been listening to both the audiobook and reading alongside with it as well. So it sounds like a scammy title and name. He says that all the time too, but it's a really great resource. So definitely want you to check that out as well.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Yeah, I've actually never read that book, so maybe this is a good opportunity for me to put it on the list. All right, let's get into it. Let's get into our list of if we only had $100 each, US dollars, I should say, being Canadian, so $100 US each to invest in a productivity budget, not including apps and stuff like that, but actual things, what would we buy? So usually when we do these type of episodes, we kind of go back and forth draft style, each picking one, but I don't think that's going to work in this style of episode. So what we're going to do is I'm going to start off with my list and go through adding up to $100, which was actually way more difficult than I expected. First time I did it, I got $101. And so I was like, oh man, you know, maybe they won't notice, but I thought, nope, if we're going to have a constraint, we need to stick to it. So I kept it within the $100. And I will just go through my list first. But before we do that, I just wanted to give a very quick shout out to our TPS Plus members. We've been getting a lot of new members lately. Really, really appreciate you supporting the show. TPS Plus is our special version of the Productivity Show where you get episodes a week early without ads. And there's a bunch of other great bonuses. If you do the annual plan, you get a shirt, which is very popular. I'm wearing right now, actually. If you want to learn more about that, go to theproductivityshow.com/plus. All right. So I am going to start my round of $100 total with a tool that I use all the time, and that is a USB-C hub. And so the reason why this is important is because more and more devices, whether they be laptops or tablets, they're only coming with USB-C, which is not the big USB ports that we've all had for years and years and years, but the small version. A lot of them only have that port, or they have maybe only one USB-A port and the rest USB-C. But the problem is most of us have all our devices with the old style of USB. So this is something that I bought as soon as I got my MacBook Pro. I've gifted one to multiple members of my family when they get a new laptop, and all of a sudden they realize, wait a second, why can't I plug my mouse or any of my other things into my computer? So this is something I've bought multiple times. So the one I chose is an Aki USB-C 8-in-1 Type-C adapter. So it has USB-A ports, it has an Ethernet port if you want to hardwire your device, it has an SD card reader if you have an SD card for your camera, all sorts of different attachments that you can plug in and use in any device. I'll have a link to the particular one I'm referring to in the show notes, so go to theproductivityshow.com/339. But yeah, this one, the one I chose is $40, so I'm using up a significant chunk of my $100 budget right off the bat, but it's something that's so useful, I wanted to make sure to have it. So far, I have $100, I spend $100, so I still have $60 left. Tan, do you use one of these USB hubs, or I don't even know, maybe your computer is older, I actually can't remember.
Yeah, so I have several MacBooks here. The main station here that I use for as we're recording this is my MacBook Pro. Believe it or not, now that we're in 2021, I have a 2013 MacBook Pro, and it's still going strong. But I think at some point I might have to upgrade. And yes, it does require a USB-C device for all the things that I'm like plugging in right now. Technically, I don't need a specific USB-C for that particular model, but I have like additional USB adapters because I have like the mic hooked up, an additional monitor, different charging devices. So it's a little bit of a, you know, circus over here. And then I also have my MacBook Air, which is the one I travel with. And that one has a USB-C adapter. I wouldn't say it's like for me a must-have personally, because even when I travel, I typically only need it when I give presentations. And then I will like want to hook up, you know, my things or my little clicker so I can like present and stuff. And if I need to plug stuff in. But for the most part, if I'm traveling, not giving talks, I rarely need one. Because nowadays, a lot of things are wireless for me. So whether it's like the headset, like the AirPods, if I need to be on a call, I'll use the AirPods for something like that. And so that one didn't make it onto my list. I think if you're someone who is very stationary with their devices, you'll probably need one. Or if you give talks all the time, or just have to plug in like lots of camera gear or something like that, then you definitely need it. But in my kind of lifestyle, I really don't.
Yeah, and also you're still holding on to your older MacBook that still has the old style ports. Once that goes away, it can be really challenging to enter the world of dongle town. So the more we can avoid it, the better. So that's my first one. My second tool is also something that I've gifted to a number of family members, and it is a Nextstand laptop stand. I've mentioned this one on the podcast before, but it's come in so, so handy for me. And the one I linked to is $32. So again, I'm eating up a lot of my budget right off the bat, but this is something that has been so useful to me. And what this is a foldable, portable laptop stand. And you might think that in the kind of pandemic world where many of us are not working, say, from coffee shops or co-working spaces as much as we used to, it might not be as useful. But what I've found is at least a lot of my family members have had to, when they've been working from home more, they've had to kind of work in different scenarios than they're used to. Maybe before they were working from a desktop computer at home or a big monitor at home, and then they've had to compromise and work from a dining room table or from a spare bedroom or something like that. And what happens is a lot of people, we start working on our laptops and we're hunched over, and we're, even if you have a external monitor, you're hunched over typing, and it's just not a great experience. One time I was at a co-working space and I was using my Nextstand, and somebody who was much younger than me asked me, you know, why do you need that thing for? And I just said, well, just wait till you're a few years older and you'll realize that the way we all hunch over our laptops is not great for you over a long period of time. Any laptop stand, anything that raises up your laptop is great, but I like the Nextstand because it's inexpensive, very foldable, very light, very portable. So that's $32 for me. So I'm already up to $72 on my budget. So still got another $28 to go. Tan, I'm guessing you probably don't have a use for a laptop stand, but I'm just curious if it's something that you've seen others use when you've been at co-working spaces and stuff like that.
Yeah, Ron Austin, you see them quite a bit. And I personally don't have one myself. At home, I have, you know, a laptop stand by Rain, which I believe is called an M stand, but it's mostly as a stationary thing, right? It's not really for travel. I think what's interesting to see from your list here is that you have two things that you've gifted a lot. And I think anytime you gift something, that's a ringing endorsement. That's when you know, like, okay, I really love this and you need to have this as well. That's a really good endorsement. So everyone that's listening right now, if you're in the need of a Nextstand or a laptop stand, this is the one to check out.
Yeah, I actually have the Rain M stand as well, and I used it on my desk for years and years and years. It's a great one. The only reason I didn't list it is because just in the last few weeks, I've switched over to a monitor and laptop arm on my desk. So it's an arm that attaches to my desk and then keeps my monitor and my laptop kind of up in the air, which gives some more space underneath. I wanted to include that on my list, but no matter what configuration I used, it pushed me over my $100, so I couldn't make it on the list. But maybe I'll throw it in the show notes link as a little bit of a bonus. But yeah, that's a great solution too. The M stand is a great laptop stand. So that is my second, and also this is my last one. I've gifted a lot, but I wanted to mention it. This is called the Syntec USB-C to USB adapter. So this kind of is related to the USB hub in a way, but it's the opposite. So what these are these little, and they're very small, very tiny, little tiny adapters that you can plug a USB-A, so the old style of USB, cable into, and it turns it into a USB-C cable, basically. And so they're very small, very inexpensive. The pack that I bought that I have listed in the show notes is only $8, but I have a number of them, and I, again, gifted it to a number of different family members. And I've used these for my microphone. I've used these for different USB adapters. For whatever reason, I wanted to plug directly into my computer instead of into the hub. And they've worked really well. And it's great for traveling as well. You can throw a few of them in your bag and just always have them with you in case there's ever a situation where you're out of the house and you need to plug something into your computer. Or you can save the day if somebody needs to plug something in and they have the wrong thing. It takes up no space or weight in your bag, but it comes in handy more often than you'd think. So the ones that I bought are the Syntec USB-C to USB adapter. Again, I will include links for that in the show notes. Highly recommended to have a couple of in your gadget bag. All right. So my fourth tip is going a completely different direction. I've got three kind of digital related tips. So I'm going to go the complete other way now for my last two picks. And my fourth pick is a Zebra Pen Delgard Mechanical Pencil. And this is its claim to fame, and so far it has worked for me. It claims to be an unbreakable mechanical pencil, because anyone who's used a mechanical pencil is familiar with the fact that as soon as you start writing with the stupid thing, the lead breaks, and then you have to click, 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 click to bring it out again. Well, the Delgard, this mechanical pencil, which I always have in my desk with me, and I have one in my bag, very inexpensive, only $7. It's great. I write with it all the time. I jot down notes. I like to sketch out things. If I'm designing something or making a little workflow or something like that, I like sketching it out in pencil because then I can erase it, obviously. Especially as a left-handed person, I don't know if the angle's different, but I always find myself breaking mechanical pencils. So this one has been a total workhorse. So yeah, that's my unbreakable mechanical pencil, $7. So I am at $87 now. So I only have $13 left. Tan, are you a pencil writer? Are you like a fountain pen snob? Like when you're jotting things down at your desk, what are you using for that?
I definitely don't have any pencils around me. I always use a roller pen anywhere that I have them around my place. So I have like different pens all over. I do have a beautiful Mont Blanc fountain pen, but I'm too lazy to replace the ink. And so when I'm out, I'm always relying on the other pens that I have. So whenever my personal assistant comes over, I have some time to remember to tell her, she will usually replace the ink for me. But sometimes I might have to wait for a few days before she gets back in here. I do personally like the fountain pen a lot, but I only use it when I handwrite notes for people. So that's the only time I will bust out that pen. But otherwise, I can't remember the last time I used a pencil because I'm not a big pencil user myself. So I was really curious why you picked that recommendation here, but now I see why, because it seems to be unbreakable and has tons of great reviews on Amazon. And we have links to everything that we just talked about on Amazon as well and all the prices that we mentioned here. So it's going to be really easy to grab all these things. Just go to the show notes. Again, if you're listening to us in the app, just swipe, or if you're listening elsewhere, just go to theproductivityshow.com/339.
And also, I change my mind a lot and make a lot of mistakes, so pencil is good for me.
Podcasts are small businesses. When we're talking to business owners, we get it 100%. Our team is tiny. Every single hire needs to fit just right. And that's why we're telling you about Indeed. Indeed.com is the hiring site that helps you find quality candidates with Indeed Instant Match. Indeed searches through the millions of resumes in their database to help you show you great candidates instantly, so you can do the part that you really need faster, meeting and hiring great people. Unlike some hiring sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility, delivering a quality shortlist faster. With Indeed, there are no long-term contracts, and you can pause your account at any time, and you only pay for what you need. With Instant Match, you'll see a list of great candidates with zero wait, and Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. So you want your shortlist fast? You need Indeed. Right now, our listeners get a free $75 credit to upgrade your job post at indeed.com/TPS. This is Indeed's best offer available anywhere. Get a free $75 credit at indeed.com/TPS. Indeed.com/TPS. Offer valid through March 31st. Terms and conditions apply. We always talk about time, energy, and attention. And energy is such a big part of living a productive life. What's draining your energy? Is it stress, anxiety, chronic pain? Or do you have trouble sleeping at least one night a week? Well, you're not alone. Many of us have dealt with some of these. I certainly have. Want to know what has helped me? Feels, premium CBD delivered directly to your doorstep. Feels naturally helps reduce stress, anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness. I've taken a lot of different CBD products recommended by friends, and Feels is by far my favorite. It has made a big impact on the quality of my sleep. Just place a few drops of Feels under your tongue and feel the difference in minutes. One of the things I really appreciated with Feels is that it makes it easy to find the right dose. The documentation that comes with it makes it really clear what dosage you should have for the impact that you're looking for. It's the best I've seen from any product. Start there and experiment over a week or so. If you're new to CBD or have questions, Feels has a free CBD hotline. You can text, chat, call, or email them, and they'll help you find what works best for you. Feels works naturally to help you feel better. There's no high, hangover, or addiction. Just have it delivered to your door every month, and you'll save money and can pause or cancel at any time. Feels has me feeling my best every day, and it can help you too. Become a member today by going to feels.com/TPS, and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feals.com/TPS to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. Feels.com/TPS.
All right, so I have $13 left in my budget. My final tool is $13. And I have said on the podcast many times that I am an extremely digital guy. Usually when I'm out and about, I will take notes on my phone or jot down action items on my phone and stuff like that. But I do still like having a paper notebook with me. I always have one in my bag. And sometimes in some scenarios, I'll have one in my pocket, not as much as I used to. The notebook I use for that is called a Field Notes notebook. Field Notes are these small, thin notebooks. They're very small. You can keep them in a pocket and they don't bulk up or anything like that. So this particular one is a 3-pack. The one I linked to is a pitch black cover. They have all sorts of different types of covers. I just chose the pitch black one because the rest of them at the time of recording were, most of the rest of them were out of stock. So that's why I chose this one. But you can choose all sorts of different types of colors, and they have dotted, lined, graph paper, all sorts of different designs. But yeah, the Field Notes are really easy to write in. You can always have one handy. And the theme for me is they don't take up much space or weight. So the Field Notes pitch black notebook, 3-pack, the small size. I like the smallest size for me. That's $13. So that brings me exactly to $100. I wasn't trying to get this, but somehow it worked out that way. Tan, in your bag, do you have a notebook with you, or are you just 100% digital?
No, I do have a bunch of notebooks with me, and I have a bunch of different ones. So, like, I have Field Notes here, you can see on the screen for those who are watching. Those are the ones I like as well. So these are their small ones. And again, you can easily put them in there. I also have a bunch of different ones that are just unmarked by Baron Fig. It's a company based in New York. And I got to know the owner, Joey, over the years, and really love their stuff as well. And actually, most of my notebooks are from them, by Baron Fig. Cannot go wrong with either or, but I like to carry all of them with me, or one of them with me anytime I travel somewhere, just because, like, if I'm on the plane or something, or in the car or commuting, or I'm just like resorting somewhere, it's nice to be able to just like bust something out and be like, all right, let me write this down if I don't have my phone on me. So definitely recommend having some sort of small notebook on you at all times.
All right, so that is mine. I've used up my entire $100 budget. I was really afraid when we were planning this episode that we'd each have like one or two items. This would be the shortest episode ever. But I managed to do 5 items, ranging from $40 at the most expensive, $7 at the least expensive. I'm really looking forward to hearing your list, Tan, since often when we do tools and gear episodes, yours tend to skew on the higher end of the price range. So I'm really looking forward to hearing what you have and if you are able to stay in the $100 budget. So yeah, why don't you go for it?
Yeah, so I actually have 7 items here. And I'm very flattered that you called me bougie and that I have all these expensive items But as I always like to say, buy nice or buy twice. And so I'm a big fan and proponent of what I like to call minimalist luxury, which is the whole idea of, like, if you're going to own something, make it the best thing that you can own and the thing that you can afford, because oftentimes it's of higher quality and you will enjoy it more, it lasts longer, and so on. And so it's quality, something that you're willing to have to almost like pay for. And I'm a big believer of that. But when I was putting together this list, I thought, okay, I only have $100 of all the things that I do recommend on a daily basis. I can't pick the high-end option, but I still want to give people recommendations of things that they can use on a day-to-day basis. So a lot of these things are things I personally use or use myself now, or I will find a variation of it that is more affordable. So just to start off with, the first one that I have is a whiteboard. So this particular whiteboard that I picked is $18, and it's 17 by 23 inches. So it's big enough that you can put it into your home office. And now that most of us are working from home, I think a whiteboard is one of those essential items that you must have for, you know, putting down notes, brainstorming, mind mapping, writing your goals on there, making them visible so that you see them every day. There's just so many functional and practical uses for it. So I always recommend that anyone who starts working from home, one of the first purchases you make, aside from a second monitor, is a whiteboard. So that's the first thing that I would recommend here. And again, I'll have the link to the specific whiteboard in the show notes. So theproductivityshow.com/339. And this one was $18, okay? And I know, Brooks, you have one as well. Hi, everyone that works at the company that have one. So it is no surprise that this one made it onto its list.
Yeah, I do have a whiteboard. It's not up on the wall right now. I need to get it back up on the wall. When we were doing renos, they ripped it off the wall for some reason, even though they didn't need to. But one of the things I've been struggling with, and this whiteboard you recommended actually would solve that, is the one I have is bigger. But I think actually the one you referenced, 17 by 23, is a good size. It's big enough that you can actually write useful things on it, but it doesn't take up like half your wall. So I think that 17 by 23 is a great sweet spot.
So my second recommendation, this is something that, you know, I like the digital version of this, but since we aren't allowed to make app recommendations this time, I thought, okay, what's the real world version of this? Because I think everyone needs some sort of to-do list or task manager in their lives to kind of keep track of all the things that needs to be done that they have to do at some point. And so the most analog version that I like is the self planner. So this is by the company Best Self. I'm good friends with the owner, Catherine Lavery. She was actually on one of our podcast episodes a while back, and we can link to that episode in the show notes. She essentially created this paper planner that I personally really like and have used myself. And so anyone who is starting off needs to have at least experienced like a paper planner at some point, because I think everyone needs to figure out, like, are they completely digital? Do they like pen and paper? Like, what's the route? Or is it maybe a combination of both? And if you're going to go with the analog routes or the paper and planner route, then I think the self planner is the one to go for. So it's only $10, very affordable, and it will last you about 6 months or so. I think it's the best one out there and one that I've personally used and have gifted a lot and also would recommend to you here listening. So if you're someone who loves pen and paper, definitely go check it out. Even if you don't know if you love pen and paper, go check it out as well.
Yeah, so Catherine was on the podcast, you're right, TPS 284. So we'll make sure there's a link to that in the show notes, or you can just go to theproductivityshow.com/284 and you can listen to that episode. I've tried a few of these paper planners. They never really stuck with me, but I haven't checked out this one. So I think I might actually pick this one up, because I'm always curious, even though I'm a very digital person, people who are into analog planners are really into them. I think I might pick this one up, especially since it's only $10, and see what all the fuss is about, because I've also heard very good things about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's like so many of them out there, right? So sometimes it's kind of hard to figure out which one to get. And this is the one I've tried a lot of different ones. And so go get the self-planner and support our friend Catherine. So let's talk about my third recommendation here, and kind of like sticking to the whole working from home theme that I mentioned earlier. One of the things that I think everyone needs when they're working from home is some form of a headset, because most of us are on Zoom meetings now or on Teams meetings. It's always nice when we have meetings that someone can speak clearly and that there's no echo, sound quality is good, that if you're giving a presentation that the audio is clear. And I think the audio quality of something you stand behind is always really important. Whether it's a video that you create, a presentation that you give, oftentimes the audio is more important than the video, right? So if you've ever watched a YouTube video, you can usually deal with like okay video quality, but you cannot stand bad audio. So that's why I think the headset is so important. So the one I recommend that fits this budget is the Logitech H390 headset. We'll have a link to it in the show notes. It's only $26. Tons of great reviews. Now, I personally have not used this one because I have, as Brooks kind of mentioned, all these bougie headsets at home that I've loved trying, and like the AirPods and the Bose, and I have this like $400 podcast mic that I use for our meetings as well. But for anyone just starting off, if you're just getting into the workforce or workplace and you need a headset, like go with this one. I've done tons of research and this seems to be a really popular one. And so only $26, Logitech H390.
Yeah, you talk about the importance of audio. This is actually a change we've made in the Asian Efficiency team recently. Everyone, I think, has pretty good headsets. That's not a problem. But sometimes one of us maybe has had like the wrong mic selected or some sort of issue with the audio. And so we actually implemented a rule that at the start of every daily huddle that we have, everyone needs to do an audio check to make sure that audio is okay, because there's nothing really that can derail a meeting more quickly than somebody having audio issues. It just makes it a bad experience for everybody. And so that's why we implemented that rule. But step one of that is having a decent headset. So I don't have experience with this one either for the same reason. I'm also in Tan's category of being more on the fancy side of headphones and stuff like that. But if I was recommending to somebody start out with a limited budget, this one gets good reviews. And for $26, it's pretty hard to go wrong.
Yeah, that's the one thing we implemented that we really love is just the audio check at the beginning of a meeting. So you avoid all these different delays, right? So before the meeting starts, everyone just says hello, do a quick audio check, and then you start the meeting. We found that to be really helpful. So you avoid the whole, hey, Brooks, what do you think of this? And then you just hear silence for like 2 minutes. You go, what happened?
Exactly.
So it just streamlines the meeting. But that's a different topic. So my fourth recommendation here, this is actually a random thing that I discovered when I was visiting my parents' place, and I forgot mine and I left it at home, and I thought, oh my gosh, like I'm going to be here for a week. I really need this thing. Otherwise I can't get any work done or I won't feel that great. So I went to the local Target and grabbed this one, and because I wanted it right away, I couldn't wait until 2-day shipping or something. And that is a sleep mask. Now the one that I actually like the most is this one by Target, and this is only $9. So I've tried a lot of different sleep masks from like $9 to $40 to $50 to anything in between. And surprisingly, this is the one I like the most, and this is only $9. So I've actually bought like 5 of them now, just in case they ever like stop producing them. So I have like one that I always have with me in my backpack, one that I have with me in my other like satchel bag that I use whenever I go to like this recovery center here, this generator place that has like saunas and hot tubs, and they have these Normatech devices where you've experienced these, Brooks, where you put these sleeves on your legs, and that's usually when I take a nap as well, or I listen to a podcast, so I'll put the eye mask on. And so I've tried so many different ones, but for some reason this $9 sleep mask from Target, the one in gray, is the one that I like the most. So shows you it doesn't have to be expensive at all. And so when we add everything up now, so far I've spent $63 on all 4 items, and I still have $37 left. And the reason I put this eye mask in here is because I'm a big believer of naps. So I like to take a 20-minute daily nap, whether it is, earlier in the afternoon, it doesn't really matter for me, but it's usually sometime in the afternoon. I like to set a timer for 20 minutes. And then I'll just snooze, and as soon as the alarm goes off, I'll just wake up, and I kind of feel like I have a second wind for the day. And the reason I do 20 minutes, like around 25, 30 minutes is when you start getting into deep sleep. So you want to avoid, before you get into that, you want to not wake up when you get into that state, because then you feel really groggy, right? So if you ever woken up from, alarm clock in the morning, or just like taking a nap, you feel really groggy, it's oftentimes when you're like mid-cycle in the deep sleep cycle, when you get woken up and you feel just really foggy. So I recommend 20 minutes is kind of like being on the safe side. And I've never had issues with that.
I was never upset about Target leaving Canada until now, because this eye mask looks great. It has gel in it, but it's also inexpensive. I'm actually in the market for a eye mask, so I'll have to see if there's some way I can get this to Canada, because I don't like any of the eye masks that I have for my particular situation, where, long story short, I'm having hip issues right now and I can't sleep on my normal side. And so I need to get an eye mask to facilitate that. And I'm looking around for different eye masks. So maybe I'll see if I can pick this one up, because it looks good. Darn you, Target.
Yeah. So we'll have a link to that particular eye mask again in the show notes as well for Target. All right. So my fifth recommendation here is, if you've been following Asian Efficiency and Productivity Show for a while, you know that we're big fans of this technique that allows you to focus for short periods of time. It's especially helpful for those who have struggled with concentration in the past, or just like being able to focus for long periods of time. And that technique is called the Pomodoro technique, which is the whole idea of setting a timer for, say, 25 minutes. And then when the timer goes off, you take a 5-minute break and then you repeat that cycle again. You do this multiple times throughout the day, and you actually get intense amounts of focused work done that way. And so I didn't want to recommend like a really cheap, like $3 Pomodoro timer or tomato timer that you can get anywhere. I found this like sand timer that looks really nice. And if you've been following us for a while, you know, oftentimes we've recommended the Essington timer, which is a beautiful hourglass sand timer as well, but it's, you know, starts at $200. And obviously that doesn't fit this budget, but this is like a cheaper version of it and it looks really nice. And so I just ordered it myself as well, that I'm going to use as well. And so I'm really looking forward to that. And they have different colors and different durations, for like even 2 minutes to like 15 minutes to 30 minutes. So this is the one I look forward to using myself. And it's a beautiful sand timer. So it's a great timer that you can use to kind of like use for your own Pomodoros, right? And having the Essington one, something that I use every now and then, but being able to use this for just like everyday use, this is the one I would then recommend. And it's only $13.
I've always been tempted by the Essington one, but like you said, it is very pricey, so I've never pulled the trigger. But this one looks really, really nice. So there'll be a link in the show notes. But it's nice looking, and you can just use it for your Pomodoros. And yeah, this is actually a great find. I might pick one of these up as well. This show's going to end up being expensive for you. Kudos, by the way. You've done so many different tools, and you're still only at $76. So you got $24 remaining. So you're totally crushing this list.
Hey, if we set a budget for something, I know how to maximize it and how to be efficient with it, right? So let's go to my sixth recommendation then. And this is, again, an analog tool that I like to use. And I mentioned it the other day on one of our other Dojo sessions that we do live. And if you're not familiar with the Dojo, it's our private community that we have here at Asian Efficiency, where members can kind of like hang out, share ideas, and interact with each other. And every month we have like a live coaching session that we do in there. And so one of the things that we always do is like pick a new topic every single month. And one of the things that we always want to make sure of is that we have you implement stuff. We call it, you know, do the damn thing. So it's not just about more information, but actually implementing stuff. And I believe in one of the sessions I talked about sticky notes. So that is my sixth recommendation here, and that is to have sticky notes. So if you're watching this right now on YouTube, here's a bunch of sticky notes that I have in front of me. So I like to take a lot of notes, and these are all like super random notes. So I might be on a call and I go, oh yeah, I need to write down this phone number, or oh yeah, I need to do this, or hey, I need to get groceries later. Let me just quickly write down what I need to do. So oftentimes my phone is in a different room when I'm working, or it's not, you know, within reach, so I can just focus. And I still need to write stuff down though. So I don't like to open up oftentimes like a different notes app on my computer, because then I get easily distracted. And so I like to use sticky notes for that. And I found it really helpful if I get distracted and I have to write down like, oh, this is what I was working on, this is what I need to do next, I'll write it down on a sticky note as well. So when I finish dealing with this distraction and then come back to work on my task, I know, okay, let me just check out my sticky notes. You know, what was my train of thoughts? What is the next action here? Oh, yes, this is what it is. Okay, I can just continue working on my task. So there's no procrastination or like much of an on-ramp needed. So sticky notes, highly underrated in my opinion. And that's why I wanted to put it on this list as well for only $7.
Yeah, we record these. You mentioned the dojo. We record these episodes alongside, live stream them to the dojo and TPS Plus, which I mentioned earlier. And Alice, who's a member, says, yay, sticky note. So I think you're, and there's other comments too. So your sticky note recommendation has definitely been popular. All right, so you are at $83. You have $17 left. I'm really curious how you're going to spend this last $17.
Yeah, so this recommendation is actually only $14. So that means my total expenses will be $97 with $3 left. But the reason I put this recommendation in here is because it's something I consume every day, Monday through Friday at least, and sometimes on the weekends as well. And as many people know, I'm not a huge coffee drinker, but I'm a huge tea drinker. So the recommendation that I have here today is actually matcha green tea. This is only $14. So if you're not familiar with matcha green tea, it's basically green tea, and matcha is basically the powder form of it. And you can just like put it in a cup, heat it up, mix it a little bit, and you're good to go. Now they have fancy whiskers and all that stuff if you want to really get into it. But for most people, you can just use the powder and use warm water and you're good to go. And so it has caffeine in it, and it also has this component called L-theanine. And so what this prevents from happening is the caffeine crash that many people experience when they drink coffee, right? So if you ever drank coffee, you feel really good, you feel really focused, and then all of a sudden you feel this crash coming down because the caffeine ran out. That's oftentimes because your body's just not used to dealing with this efficiently. And what green tea has is this component called L-theanine, and it does actually two things. One is it makes you more calm. So a lot of people will even use it as a supplement. It's something I use as well as a supplement separately before going to bed sometimes. So sometimes when I'm really wired and I'm like, okay, I'm trying to go to bed, I need to calm myself down. Like you can use something like magnesium, which a lot of people use like the calm supplement as an example. But you can also use on top of that an L-theanine supplement that really calms you down. And I found that to be even more effective than just magnesium by itself. But that is a natural component that's in green tea. And what it also does is it kind of like diffuses the caffeine in your bloodstream over time. And so you don't get this crash from the caffeine that you get when you drink this. And so that's why I'm a big fan of green tea, because you can kind of like get the same level of focus and energy like you do from coffee, but you don't have the caffeine crash because of the L-theanine component in it. And it also makes you more calm. So I usually drink this every morning to kind of like get myself ready and get myself focused. And especially when I'm writing and I need to do some really creative work, I have this like ritual at home where I make myself, you know, matcha green tea, and it gets me kind of like in this state, in this flow that allows me to focus and get stuff done. So that is my seventh and last recommendation here.
All right, wrapping it up with green tea. I am a coffee drinker. I like my coffee in the morning, but sometimes in early afternoon, I'll have some green tea just for that energy boost without all the problems later. However, I haven't tried the matcha version of that, so maybe that's something that would be fun to do. So I'll have to look into that. All right, so we've got all of our recommendations. I'm not going to go through them all again, but like we mentioned, these are all listed at theproductivityshow.com/339. Now, one thing we will say is don't go out and buy something just for the sake of buying something. However, if something here seems useful, hopefully we've shown with this episode that you don't necessarily need to go out and spend a ton of money to be productive. There's lots of everyday things around you can pick up that will help you almost just as much sometimes as the more expensive things. So pick and choose, and it might even be a useful thought exercise for you. What are some things, if you had some sort of constraint, what are some things that would help you under that constraint? So again, theproductivityshow.com/339 for the show notes. And in the next episode, we're going to be talking about an extremely important topic, which is password management. So we're going to be diving into all those sorts of things for personal and team password management. So really looking forward to that. So thank you so much, Tan, and we will talk to you all next Monday.
Do you wish there were more hours in a day? Are you behind on your to-do list? If you want to be more productive and get proven tools to help you save time, then you must check out our new productivity assessment. Within 2 minutes of taking this free assessment, the tool will generate a personal recommendation list of which apps, tools, and strategies that will work for you based on your life situation. To take the assessment, just go to theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Again, that URL is theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Take their free assessment today and you'll be on your way to becoming superhuman productive. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next Productive Monday.